The 45 degrees Celsius cooling story from NVIDIA is one of those that you need to read carefully to appreciate what's actually being claimed. The headline, "Cutting Data Center Water Use to Near Zero," sounds like marketing. The underlying engineering is genuinely interesting. Standard liquid cooling systems use water temperatures in the 20 to 30 degrees Celsius range, which means they require chillers to keep the coolant cold. Chillers consume enormous energy and, in many configurations, require evaporative cooling that consumes significant water. The proposed design runs coolant at 45 degrees Celsius, warm enough that you can reject heat directly to the outside air in most climates without a chiller, eliminating the evaporative cooling loop entirely.
The business case is compelling on multiple dimensions. Data centers are facing regulatory pressure on water consumption in water-stressed regions, Arizona, Texas, parts of Northern Europe, and this is becoming a genuine siting constraint for hyperscale facilities. If you can credibly claim near zero water consumption, you expand your viable locations significantly. The energy savings from eliminating chillers are also real. Chillers typically account for 30 to 40% of a data center's cooling energy. With 353 points and 251 comments, this is a story the HN community is taking seriously, though several commenters are pointing out that near-zero water use in practice depends heavily on the ambient climate.
The SSH tunnels tutorial from Eximia's labs hit 345 points with 64 comments, which is a remarkable performance for what is fundamentally a technical tutorial. Local and remote port forwarding, jump hosts, dynamic SOX proxying, these are tools that experienced systems engineers use constantly, but that often don't get a clean pedagogical treatment. The fact that this is getting substantial HN engagement suggests either that there's a significant cohort of engineers who want this material explained clearly, or that even experienced engineers appreciate a well-structured reference they can share with teammates.
Cloudflare's self-managed OAuth for All is a different kind of infrastructure story. OAuth is the protocol that handles the login with Google or connect your GitHub account flows you encounter constantly as a user. Cloudflare enabling self-managed OAuth means developers can implement OAuth flows through Cloudflare's infrastructure, handling token issuance, refresh, and validation without building their own OAuth server from scratch. With 187 points and 85 comments, this landed well with the developer community, and you can see why. OAuth is one of those protocol-level problems that sounds simple and turns out to be complicated enough that most teams would rather not own it.
The Nub project, a bun-like all-in-one toolkit for Node.js, is sitting at 247 points with 68 comments, which is strong for a show HN post. The JavaScript runtime ecosystem has fragmented significantly over the past few years. Dino challenged Node's model. Bun then challenged both with a focus on speed and bundling tools that work together out of the box. Nub seems to be taking the lesson from Bun, opinionated, integrated, fast, and applying it within the Node.js ecosystem rather than replacing it. The HN thread is doing what HN threads do, which is debate whether this is solving a real problem or creating another thing to learn. But the point count suggests genuine interest.
The database benchmarks piece from QuestDB, Lies, Damn Lies, and Database Benchmarks, has a low point count, but I think it's worth highlighting because the content is more important than its current score suggests. Database vendors routinely publish benchmarks optimized for their own architecture while presenting them as objective performance measurements. This piece walks through the specific mechanisms by which benchmarks get gamed. Cherry-picked query patterns, favorable hardware configurations, workload sizes chosen to fit in cache, compression settings adjusted to favor the vendor. If your team is making an infrastructure decision based on vendor benchmarks, this piece should be required reading before you sign any contracts.
And the LuaJIT 3.0 proposed syntax extensions thread on GitHub, 167 points, 100 comments, is interesting for what it signals about the Lua ecosystem. LuaJIT has been one of the highest performance scripting language implementations ever built, and it's embedded in everything from game engines to network equipment firmware. A 3.0 proposal suggests active development is resuming after a period of relative dormancy, and the proposed syntax extensions could make Lua more ergonomic for modern use cases without abandoning the minimalism that makes it embeddable.
Nimic, a ShowHN project positioning Python as a systems language with ahead-of-time compilation, has a lower score at 20 points but 15 comments, and the concept is interesting enough to mention. The pitch is that you can write Python syntax code that compiles ahead of time to native binaries rather than running through an interpreter. This is conceptually similar to Cython, MyPeak, or what Modular's Mojo language has been pursuing. The HN thread is appropriately skeptical about whether this can actually deliver meaningful performance gains on real workloads while maintaining genuine Python compatibility, which is the core tension in every Python but fast project.
The Ruby LLM framework deserves a mention here too. 394 points makes it the sixth highest scored story today. This is a Ruby framework that provides a unified interface to all major AI providers. Rather than writing separate integration code for OpenAI, Anthropic, Google, and others, RubyLM gives you a consistent API surface across all of them. The Ruby ecosystem has sometimes been left behind in the AI tooling gold rush, so a well-built framework like this filling that gap is exactly what the community needed. The 68 comments are largely positive, with discussion of how it compares to Python equivalents like LangChain or LightLM.